Our guest preacher this week is Aaron Ventura. He is in his third year at Greyfriars. He's also a pastoral assistant to Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, and also serves as an interim pastor or interim preacher at Christ Church in Missoula, Montana. He completed his bachelor's in business at the University of Washington in Seattle and has spent time church planting in Jacksonville, Florida. And in his spare time, Aaron produces hip-hop music. And he has an album coming out this Reformation Day on the 5 points of Calvinism. So let's welcome Aaron.
Thank you. Well, good morning. And greetings from Moscow, Idaho. I drove over yesterday, and it was so beautiful. First time making that trip. And it is a delight to be here this morning. Thank you to the Tuzes for hosting me. I had a really sweet time with them, and I'm excited to preach the word to you this morning. So our sermon text is Ezekiel 34, verses 17 to 31. And I'm going to read this whole passage and then pray for us. So, if you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I, the Lord, that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Let's pray. Father, you have told us to take note of your kindness and of your severity. Severity towards those who have fallen, but kindness to those who continue in your kindness. And we ask for your kindness now as we open your word. Speak to us from the prophet Ezekiel. Show us your glory, we ask. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. When the prophet Ezekiel was 35 years old, God told him that his wife was going to die. And when she dies, Ezekiel is not permitted to mourn her death. God says to him, "Son of man, behold, I am about to take the delight of your eyes away from you at a stroke. Yet you shall not mourn or weep, nor shall your tears run down." And of all the crazy things that God commands his prophets to do, this is perhaps one of the hardest for us to reckon with. As I was reading this, it's hard for me to stomach that God would tell a man, "I'm going to take away the delight of your eyes, and you are not allowed to shed one tear. You are not permitted to mourn her death." How can God ask this of him? How can God take a man's wife away and not allow him to mourn her? It seems harsh and brutal and severe. And yet that is the point. God's judgment is harsh and brutal and severe. But God does give his people fair warning. If you know the history of Israel, by now he has sent prophet after prophet after prophet, calling his people back to himself. He says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Won't you turn and choose life?" He sent Jeremiah to them. He sent many of the minor prophets, of which maybe you aren't as familiar with, but he has sent prophet after prophet to his people, calling them back to himself. And yet for all this, they will not listen. And so God gives them this kind of final sign, this lived out parable, in which he will take away Ezekiel's wife, and Ezekiel is not allowed to mourn. This is the message. Since you don't seem to get it from the prophets, I will show you. I will show you at the cost of the prophet's bride. God does this to warn them that he is going to take away their bride, their delight, the temple, the great place, the center of the world, Jerusalem, is going to be destroyed by Babylon. And he tells them this: "Likewise, you shall not mourn or weep, but you shall rot away in your iniquities and groan to one another." You see Ezekiel taking away his wife. "I'm going to take away Jerusalem. I'm going to plunder her. And you're going to rot away in your iniquities. You won't mourn." So this is the context for Ezekiel's ministry. And it is in the aftermath of the destruction of the temple that we are given the prophecy I just read in Ezekiel 34. That one day, one shepherd would come. And he would once again gather these scattered tribes, these scattered sheep, and bring them into one flock. They would be united, he says, in a covenant of peace, of shalom, with God once again. Now, if you were to go back to the beginning of this chapter, which is not in your bulletin, you'd see that this judgment oracle begins with God chastising the shepherds of Israel. He puts them on notice. He says in verse 10, "Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep." You see, these shepherds would only feed the sheep to fatten them up, to then slaughter them and eat them themselves. They would get them real nice and plump for the feast. They would plunder them. They would take their wool. And God says in verse 4, "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty, you have ruled them." This is why God is against the shepherds, because they're not doing what a shepherd's supposed to do. Take care of the sheep. Go after the ones that are lost. Heal those that are sick. Bind them up. But because of this animal cruelty, God deposes these shepherds. He removes them from their position of leadership, but he does not stop there. And this is where we pick up in our text today, in verse 17. God says, "Oh, I'm coming, There's going to be a reckoning for these shepherds. But also beware, you sheep. I'm coming to judge you too. So what I want to do this morning is simply walk through this passage together. And there are three things that Ezekiel foretells about the coming Messiah that I want us to look at. And this will form the outline of the sermon. And they are these. Number one, this coming shepherd is going to judge between the sheep and the goats. Number two, he will feed his flock. And number three, he will protect and prosper his people. He will judge between the sheep and the goats. He will feed his flock. He will protect and prosper his people. That's where we're going. This is how you'll know that the true shepherd has come, when you see these things happening. So let's begin in verse 17, where God says this. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. And in the flow of this chapter, this is the kind of turn where God was addressing the shepherds, and now he's going to address the sheep. It's kind of like, dad comes in, all right, family meeting, some discipline needs to be had, and he's already taken away the cell phone, the car keys from the teenagers, and then he also recognizes some of these little ones need to get spanked as well. And so he says, all right, you older ones, you know better, here's your punishment, but also you kids. How have you sinned in this? What have you done? Don't look at the shepherds and say, oh yeah, he's not going to come after us. Oh no. Everyone of you here will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is no one that will be excluded. He says, I will judge between rams, which are just male sheep, and goats. That is the point. Nobody is excluded from the discipline of the Lord. And it doesn't matter how cute you are, how smart you are, how white your little wool is, how cute your little bat is. You're going to have to answer for everything that you've done. And God is coming to judge not only the shepherds, but he's coming to judge between the sheep. He says, I'm going to judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Verse 18, is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture? So God has specific sins in mind for these sheep, right? You ask the kid, all right, who wants to come clean? Just tell me what you did. You know, we get this over real quick. Oh, but you want to make it hard on yourself. Well, I have some questions for you. And he says, is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture? And you have drunk of the nice clear waters, that you must foul the remainder with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. So there are sheep here living in a land of plenty. They're, you know, kind of high and mighty. They're eating good. But they're not content to just eat good. They trample down the remainder so no one else can eat too. They are greedy. It's kind of like, you know, they're walking into whatever is the best restaurant in town, ordering the most expensive thing on the menu. You know, these fat cats in there eating it up. And then they just burn the restaurant down on the way out. Right? They're only concerned about themselves and their own appetites. I think Paul would say their God is their belly. Their God is their belly. They're born for destruction. So they're guilty of living lives of self-consumption, of self-absorption, and lovelessness towards others. Not content to eat, drink, and be merry, they ruin the party for everyone else. This is what the fat sheep do. And verse 20 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Okay? You know when mom says, just wait till dad gets home? It's kind of like what's happening here. God says, I myself, the one who knows everything, am coming to judge between sheep and sheep. Verse 21, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. if you've noticed, I'm repeating myself, but three times he says, I'm coming to judge between sheep and sheep. Get the message. A reckoning is coming. The bill is going to come due and someone must pay. Either you will pay or Jesus Christ will pay. But the bill needs to be paid. And so judgment is coming. And God says, it's not hard for me to tell who is doing the sinning and who is being sinned against, because I can see there are fat sheep and there are lean sheep. And God says, I know how you got fat. I know why these sheep are lean and sick. It's not just the shepherd's fault. Yeah, they're responsible, but also you played a part in this. You fat sheep, he says, are pushing people with your horns, nudging them with your broad shoulders and scattering the innocent. You are living lives of decadence and fleshly indulgence. You are bullying people with your power. And because of this, judgment is coming. Verse 22, therefore I will save my flock. And here salvation means judgment on the fat sheep. They shall no longer treat the lean sheep like prey. And this is the gospel message we already have right here. Salvation comes when righteous judgment is executed and God's people are redeemed. God will separate the sheep from the goats, the fat sheep from the lean sheep, and the guilty from the innocent. And this is a message that American Christians should take heed to. We are the wealthiest civilization in history. We are peak. And we should know that what God does to those who are proud is humble them. If you were to look at every nation on the map and say, let's decide how fat of a sheep they are, I would reckon we are the fattest. If you look around our nation right now, you'll notice that judgment has indeed already begun. And it begins in the house of God. It begins with the shepherds. So I want to exhort you this morning to take heed if you've been living like a fat sheep, if you've been living like a fat American sheep, if you have been taking advantage of people in your business or living for yourself and not for the glory of God and the good of those in the pew next to you. All of us are going to have to answer for our actions here, whether we have been the person to, you know, tell people essentially, you can drink my bath water. That's what these sheep are doing, fouling their hooves in the drinking water. They get clean water. They get the bottled water. They get the expensive bottled water from Starbucks. But, you know, you can drink my bath water is what they're saying. You get this? And for the exiles in Ezekiel's day, the question is then, well, when is this going to happen? When is this judgment and salvation going to come? And verse 23 gives us the answer. He says this, I will establish one shepherd over them, one, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So when is salvation going to come? It's going to come when the shepherd comes. One shepherd. And this is, of course, the glorious prophecy of the coming messianic shepherd king. And it is this passage in Ezekiel that Jesus alludes to in John 10:16 when he says, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Oh, I hope you know your Ezekiel. I hope you've read it more than just once in your Bible reading plan. Because Jesus knows Ezekiel, and he wants you to remember this promise that judgment and salvation is coming, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Remember the context, Israel and Judah are separated. The northern kingdom has already fallen to Assyria. And Judah is holding out and then they are toast. And Ezekiel is amongst these exiles. They're wandering. If you've ever experienced a diaspora of saints where a church folds or persecution comes and you're wandering, there's all these people we have here and, well, you want to all be together, but you're not. And the promise is that when the shepherd comes, it'll be a great family reunion. There will be one flock because there is one shepherd. And one of the defining features of the shepherd king is that he comes to feed his flock. So number two, this coming king will feed his flock. God says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. No longer will the fat sheep be muddying the waters and trampling the pasture land. This shepherd will lead his sheep in green pastures. He will lead them beside clean and still waters. He will restore their soul. He will lead them in paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. And he will prepare a bountiful banquet for them in the presence of their enemies. They will be well fed when this shepherd comes. The good shepherd will feed his flock. Right now, we live in a time where there is, I could say, a famine in the land. Just this last week, Ligonier published the results of a survey of evangelical beliefs. Has anyone seen this going around? Let me read for you a few of their findings, okay? This is a survey of confessing evangelicals, okay? 52% of confessing evangelicals believe the statement, everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. It's 52%. 51% agree that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. You guys, that's half. Over half saying God accepts the worship of all religions. 78% of evangelicals believe Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. Come again? Did we forget that Jesus is God, eternally begotten from the Father? This is like base Christianity 101, Apostles' Creed level stuff, but 78% think Jesus is the first and greatest of the created beings. Come on, guys. And only 23% of people believe that even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. In other words, God's not very holy. And lastly, 60% of people surveyed here, evangelicals, say religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It is not about objective truth. 60%. Now, however accurate or, you know, margin of error, either way, that's a lot, okay? And I think, so, do these people read their Bibles? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't see how these people can call themselves Christians. They are very misinformed. And the question I have is then, really the same that God has at the beginning of this chapter. Yo, where's the shepherds at? Who's supposed to be feeding these sheep? And what are they feeding them? Why is it so hard to find good preaching in the American pulpit? Why do so many people have to drive for hours just to find a faithful church where the Word of God is preached to you without pretense? Without dulling the blade at the place at which it needs to cut most sharply in this culture. That grieves me. That makes me angry. Where are the men who will stand and proclaim the Word of God no matter what the culture is saying. How long will the sheep be scattered by false teachers, by paper-thin theology that doesn't get near your heart, that doesn't call you to repentance? Where are they? I would ask for you to pray that God would raise up men to do this task. And that when they do, because, oh, believe, the king, nothing's going to come against the kingdom of God. He will raise these men up. And when they do, I beseech you to listen to them, to hear them, to submit yourself to God's word. And so this passage, this promise of a good shepherd who will feed his flock, needs to be taken as a rebuke and a directive to us, to the church today. Jesus told Peter three times, because the guy could not get it, right? He had to tell him three times, feed my sheep, feed my flock, feed my lambs. And the apostolic example has been handed down to us today. And it is in this era, the new covenant era, that this promise is supposed to be fulfilled. You would not be here right now if it was not for the preaching of God's word. You would not be here if it were not for many people that we will never know their names, preaching the gospel. And we are in that line of faith, all the way back to Abraham. I want to read you a text from Deuteronomy 13 that I think is apt for us right now. And this is about the judgment of God. Well, I asked this question, where are the shepherds, right? And if you have a friend or a family member that's in one of those churches where you know the doctrine is garbage, right? And you wonder, why does God let this happen? Well, God actually answers the question why he lets the church go this way. Listen to Deuteronomy 13. He says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, gold dust, let's say, in Bethel, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Why is there so much false teaching in the church today? So that God can find out what's in your heart. Whether you will be true to Him. Whether you will love Him with everything. And if you don't, then you're going to be tossed to and fro by every new wind and wave of doctrine. And that's us, right, today, the church at large. So take heed, read Deuteronomy 13, consider these things, and consider your own soul. This famine in the land is a test for us, for the people of God. Will you love Him with all you got? Will you love your children? Wives, will you respect your husbands? Husband, will you love your wives? Because God is watching and there is a reckoning coming that you must answer for. So you must fear the Lord, Reformation Covenant Church. You must fear Him and you must obey Him and you must love Him with everything. Because if you do, there is a great promise for both protection and prosperity. We come to our last point here. When the Messiah comes, He will protect and prosper His people. Verse 25 says this, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I will cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. If you're wondering where the sermon title came from, that's the text. Can you imagine the day when you can go off into the wilderness, no gear, no knife, no gun, no pepper spray or bear spray, that's a thing. And you can just lie down safely and take a nice long nap in the woods. for those who call Jesus Christ their shepherd, for those of us who are made partakers of the covenant of peace, this promise is for you. Now, remember the analogy here. Sheep sleep outside. Most of us, not so much, right? But the principle is that the wild beasts, the oppressors of God's people, will be removed from the land. All of our adversaries, our haters, those who promote lawlessness, abortion, sodomy, adultery, lawless theft, those who blaspheme the thrice holy name of God, those who are proud and boastful and worship their own appetites, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. God is going to remove them from the land. But for us who are in the kingdom, and children, listen up. If you obey your parents, it is promised that you will live long in the land. That you will have a long life if you will obey your parents from the heart. Don't talk back to them. Immediate obedience to your parents. God promises a blessing for you. That you will live in the land and your life will be long. This promise is for those who will receive the kingdom, for those who have confess their sins like we did earlier in the service and received forgiveness. We are promised peace in the Holy Ghost right now and the future peace on earth that we are progressing towards in this age. So I want to ask, if you are restless, if you are anxious and full of worry and find it hard to turn off at night, I must ask you, who is your shepherd? What shepherd is feeding you? Is it the good shepherd? Are you in the Word? Are you communing with God? Are you casting your cares and your burdens upon Him? Or are your thoughts and anxieties dominated by the news, by social media, by drama, by gossip and pettiness? Who's feeding you? Who are you listening to? I listened to the sermon from last week. And from that, I can tell you guys are being well fed. Okay, I was just downstairs in the Bible study. You got R.C. Sproul, may he rest in peace, teaching you guys. You're getting good doctrine. Listen to that. Go after that. Don't listen to the lies that the world is throwing at you. That's when you will have the peace that God promises. It's held out for you right now, the peace of God, which surpasses your understanding, if you will but take it. Take and eat. Partake of Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't have peace because you have forsaken the true shepherd of your soul and wandered into other greener pastures. And if that's you today, I want to call you home. I want to call you back into the fold of God. If you have been a wandering sheep, what are you doing? There is only life and peace and prosperity here. And for those of you with children who are wayward, or friends who used to follow Jesus but don't anymore, won't you pray for them? Won't you trust that God will indeed be a good shepherd and bring them back to the fold? Won't you call them, text them, reach out to them, invite them back to church? Won't God look upon these small steps of obedience that we take in going after these wandering sheep? I hope that you will. Because if you will return, and if you will dwell in His safety, there is protection and prosperity promised here. Verse 26. I will make them and all the places around my hill a blessing. I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke. Got a yoke. God's coming to break that yoke off your back. And deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations. Nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. When Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you have nothing to fear. Verse 29, I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. And the chapter ends with verse 31. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. There is a garden paradise that awaits the people of God. There is a rest from the weariness and the churn that's going on in the world today. There is a removal of all of your shame and the sins of your youth and the sins of yesterday in God. And in case you didn't get the metaphor running all through this text, Ezekiel makes it really clear in verse 31, you are men and I am your God. We're talking about sheep, but we're talking about you. You are men and I am your God. So I will conclude with this question. Why does God use this imagery of sheep and shepherds and sleeping in the woods to describe his people? What do we gain from this? Right. He could have done it a lot of other ways. Why is he speaking this way? You could ask the same question about why Jesus speaks in parables. The disciples even asked them, why won't you just speak plainly to us? Why is that? I think the answer is that God's gospel is so glorious and salvation is so beyond our comprehension that we need a multitude of symbols and signs, parables and stories, images and archetypes to do justice to the magnificent grace of God. In other words, so that we can know who Jesus is. It is as the theologians say, a diamond with innumerable angles from which the light reflects and shines forth something of the effulgence of God's glory. And to think that this morning we have just considered one small refraction of this diamond. We have sheep, we have pasture, we have a shepherd. And yet without this imagery in Ezekiel, without God creating these furry, four-legged sheep things, we wouldn't be able to understand when Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. What's a shepherd? What's a sheep? You need that kind of mental furniture to know who Jesus is when he says, I am the good shepherd. Listen to the rest of John 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Remember the wild beast that Ezekiel's talking about? The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus says again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. God knows you, every single one of you. And he says, my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And also, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it back up again. This command I receive from my Father. This is the gospel. God has seen you out there acting like a fat sheep. And if you will repent, peace is offered to you. because the good shepherd laid down his life for you. There are many hired hands that came and went, but this shepherd owns the sheep. And he feeds them, and he cares for them, and he loves them to the point of death. One shepherd would come. He'd vanquish his enemies, he'd judge the wicked, and die for his people. He would take his life back up again and vindicate the glory of his Father, so that Jews and Gentiles, wandering and scattered sheep, could be gathered in. That there would be one flock, one shepherd, one Lord, one faith, one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and all this through Jesus Christ. So I want to make one call. If you are not a Christian today, this is the gospel held out to you. If you are not a Christian, come and join the fold of God. There is peace and prosperity in Jesus Christ. If you will but lay down your fat living and repent and come and bow the knee before Jesus Christ, who is Lord, you're going to bow one way or another. But I would beseech you to bow now before judgment comes and you have to answer for everything that you have done. So if that's you today, I'm calling you to become a Christian. For those of you who have been living kind of halfway Christian lives, maybe something I read in that Ligonier study, you said, that seems legit. Well, hang around for a while. Get some good doctrine in you. Be well fed by the Word of God here. And I promise there will be peace and prosperity for you in Jesus. When He is your shepherd, you can sleep in the woods. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.